Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 4th of November, and I'm recording at 9:45 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Okay, so let's have a look at today's stock markets first, as I usually do. Now, in the Asia-Pacific, Japan had another really big day on the upside. Remember, this is all in response to its huge quantitative easing program that it's just added, and also the buying policy here for Japan, and they're also buying other stock markets are certainly free to do so. But at any rate, today's gains up 2.75% on average, and that's mighty impressive. They are quite overbought in the short term, and if I quibble here, looking for a fly in the ointment, I notice that the TSE2, that's that second section index, which led for so much of last year's big gains and gains earlier this year, but it has not gone to a new high the way the Nikkei 225 and the Topics index of bigger companies have both pushed to new highs. My guess is, again, overbought in the short term, we'll see some consolidation here fairly quickly, but investors are very likely to give the benefit of the doubt to this move by Japan, and the people who've been running Japan all along have wisely remained hedged as far as the yen is concerned. And what else happened in here today? Well, Hong Kong is down almost a third of a percentage point here today. That's not a big move, obviously, but it's underperforming the Shanghai composite here at the moment. And there are still concerns over the political situation there. Well, I'm really referring to, of course, the demonstrations that we saw, which brought so much of Hong Kong to virtually a standstill, mostly last month, well, virtually all last month, and that has kind of damaged sentiment somewhat, and it's obviously hurt the Hong Kong economy somewhat. The Shanghai Composite Index up just a fraction, actually less of a, not even a full point here today, but it's very steady overall. Taiwan, South Korea were a little lower. Australia was a little firmer, quarter of a percentage point. Mostly some small declines here. India is currently closed for the second consecutive day. And again, minor mixed moves here. Kuala Lumpur down a third of a percentage point. Thailand up the same amount. Indonesia down. New Zealand up a fraction, tiny fraction. Well, looking at the European markets, they're considerably weaker in here today. Of the ones that I can see on my main Bloomberg screen, the Swedish OMX market is a little bit higher, just a tiny fraction. The bigger declines, Italy and Spain, but also we've got the Euro Stoxx 50, that's down 1.5 percentage points. I'd say Italy and Spain were both down over 2% here today. German DAX index down 0.9%, CAC down 1.5%. So Europe is still very much the still very much the laggard here in developed country stock market stakes. Wall Street, not too bad a day in here, but it's overbought. It's very overbought and overextended. And it was right up near those highs, or just under those highs, for most of the indices that we had seen in September, and we had then that additional fillip of Japan's surprisingly aggressive monetary move, and that gave Wall Street another shot to the upside as well. But again, I repeat, it's very overbought here in the short term, and it is up in the region of prior resistance. Nevertheless, this rally has undone some of the damage. Remember, we saw a bigger correction overall, which broke beneath the rising 200-day MAs, although those declines were not maintained. Sorry, scratchy throat here. All these human frailties, very annoying for me at any rate. But Wall Street, by reaching new highs, that's certainly encouraged a number of investors. More importantly, it also demonstrates that there are still plenty of buyers around. And I think that's largely because so many people had gotten out of the US market or were at least underweight, including within the USA, and they had all been looking for a pullback to get back in. I mean, that's clearly evident from the very, very brisk rally. Wall Street moving back up to retest and actually exceed its highs faster than it had come down. And that tells us all that there's still buying power there helping the market. And of course, these indices are still are within their overall upward trends. So that increases confidence as well. The Halloween month is behind us, and November, December, first few months of the new year are often positive on average. So I think we'll see a consolidation in Wall Street, a little bit of a pullback, but I would expect it, and I say frankly, it needs to hold over half the gains from the recent rally, and then establish a higher reaction low and move higher towards the end of the year. Now, they're not Wall Street's certainly not free of risks. We know the leverage is high. We know the valuations are higher than other markets, but still bulls are in charge. That's the bottom line point. And I'm particularly impressed by the Russell 2000. Remember, that's the canary in the coal mine, but it's very, very steady. It's not in new high ground, but having completed, broken down out of very toppy formation, it's pushed well back into it, regaining between, well, I think almost three quarters of the decline. Okay. Elsewhere, we've got Mexico down, Canada down, Brazil a little bit higher here overall. U.S. government bond yields, they had been edging higher every day, not big moves, and they eased just a tiny fraction here today, 2.3335% on the 10-year. The U.S. dollar, which has been so firm recently, but it's a little easier in here today. The dollar index is down a quarter of a point today. And let me pick up some of the individuals. Let's see, the euro is recovered to 1.2574 against the greenback, and sterling is just back above 160 against the dollar. And the Australian dollar also picked up. It's at 0.8732 3.8. The greenback's a little bit over bought in the short term. A lot of people are talking it higher. I think on a medium to longer term basis, I agree. But the move has been really quite explosive in the last few months. And that is certainly going to worry US exporters. And it is a consideration for the Fed overall. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Fed tried to prevent the dollar from going that much higher in the short term. I think that's, you need to be a fly on the wall in a Fed meeting to be sure. But I think they're certainly aware that this is a potential threat. No country wants to have a strong currency here. And although the US economy is improving on a gradual, somewhat erratic basis, it looks good relative to most other developed economy, developed country economies, rather. But that could be compromised again by a dollar that just gains too much ground too quickly. Now, in the commodities, a bit more drama, but it's a repeat of what you've seen before. The WTI crude oil got hammered in here again today. It dropped down to as low as $75.84, and then picked up a little bit. It's currently down $1.34 at $77.44. And I looked at the Brent just a few minutes ago. It was again got clobbered here. Looks like almost $3. It was lost at 82.59, and that was after 82.08 at the actual low. So what's going on here? Well, it's the Saudis, and they're trying to maintain their market share. They're trying to squeeze some other producers, not least within the US. They'd like to knock out those shale oil producers, and they're certainly putting them under a lot of pressure here right now. So the Saudis may well keep this up for a little while longer. And they are certainly pressuring Russia, although probably unintentionally, but they are pr definitely pressuring Iran, and that would be intentional as well, in my opinion. So the oil importing countries have cheap oil for a while longer, and that's good. That will help their economic recoveries. Country such as India benefits enormously from that. Japan benefits considerably from that as well. Will it end up being a Pyrrhic victory for Saudi Arabia? There's a risk, definitely a risk of that. And precious metals, well, they're very unloved. Hit hard in here again today. The palladium down to $790 and change. That's down nearly $14 as I speak. Silver had dipped down to 1590. It's currently at just at $16, but that's down again nearly 20 cents. Again, it's a very weak. Platinum also hit hard, down $18 at 1,224 and change. Gold, which had fallen sharply last week, is just barely steady here. It's just up a fraction today at $2.88, but it's at a depressed level of 1,168. Now, I talked a lot about these precious metals in last night's audio. They're certainly becoming cheaper very rapidly. People are teaching them or treating them like Ebola victims. And in other words, they've become untouchables. This story will gradually become more interesting, but there's really no evidence yet that that an important low is at hand, although they are oversold in the short term, and they remain the plaything of some of these big central banks, which have been talking about quite aggressively for what, the better part of a year, about getting gold down to $1,000, that sort of thing. I don't think we'll see it, but I maybe well, maybe I should withhold that comment because we know that markets overshoot. It's the nature of markets to overshoot in both directions, but they do remain soft. The industrial metals are a little firmer overall, but hardly robust. In fact, copper is softer in here today, down to U.S. price down to near below 302 cents, and it's on too close to the lower side of a quite a broad trading range here overall. Grains and beans, their rally is giving up a little ground in here today. They are all down, and the commodity indices, CCI and CRY, well, they hit new reaction lows in here today, with precious metals and crude oil being the main drivers to the downside. So, there we are. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.